Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I am Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds, longtime publisher of 60 years.
Not 60.
No.
Not yet.
44.
Nope.
Three.
Over two decades.
20.
We'll call it three. Today. Right there.
23?
Something. I don't even know anymore. It's
95. It's a long time. We remember 95, yeah. Since he started.
94 with the internship during the summer.
He and Warren Sapp started at the same time, and Derek Brooks.
Yeah.
He's a disciple of Sam Weish. Sam Weish hired him. True?
Kind of true, yeah.
It is weird that you've been here. Hugh Culverhouse was still the owner.
He didn't even know who Sam Weish was.
That's right.
His previous podcast. And Trevor's like, who's Sam Weish?
Trevor Sycamore, the other voice you don't hear.
You didn't miss much, Trevor.
Still don't.
This guy is famous for quoting.
Oh, football, that guy. Yeah. Okay, that's all you had to say.
Football didn't start until, 2001 for you? When did football exist?
Well, 99.
99.
Sure.
Okay. All right. How old were you in 99?
I was 7.
Golly. He was 7 while we were watching the Buccaneers almost win a 6-5 NFC Championship.
Thanks,
game.
Bert Emanuel.
Way to go.
Good job, Brian
Kelly.
Way to go,
job, Brian Kelly.
Not his fault.
You let Ricky Prohl beat you.
Yeah.
Ricky freaking
that's
Prohl.
That's a sin. I'm sorry. That's a football
sin.
It
should have never happened.
But you know what? Ricky Prohl has beaten the Buccaneers time and time again as a Ram and as a Panther.
Yeah, that's true.
Just saying.
He's just one of those guys.
He's a kryptonite.
Butt killer. He's the
like
butt
killer kryptonite.
He's the receiver version of Case Keenum.
Yeah.
All right. And the other voice you hear is the man bun himself.
Hello.
Who made his TV debut on Monday night with J.P. Peterson.
Awful proud of you.
I did.
He made me take like 78 photos of him while he was doing it.
But so that one was good.
It. That was good.
That was a good
you
one.
You look like you're just glancing off from the stars.
No, it's the
Is that for Tinder? Is that your Tinder photo? Your profile pic?
Grindr.
Jesus.
I have a feeling he's going to cut that out.
I didn't even know what Grindr is.
It's the high school.
Zach will tell you.
Oh, my gosh. It's the high school, the high school senior photo, the look off into your future. I knew it would come back around.
No, that's kind of the stepbrothers.
Yeah, a little bit. With the hand on the shoulder thing, I'm looking up in the corner. Yeah. No. It's all in the same family tree. So.
Well, it's on Trevor's Instagram account. You can go to Mount Treverest, I believe, is his Instagram. And
Twitty,
you can follow
it?
Him. That is pretty, it's pretty twitty.
Isn't it?
Not Treverest.
I mean, mine's Mark Cook.
Creative, damn it.
Anyway, that's a millennial for you, boys. Anyway, I guess we're going to talk about this football team. It is Thursday as we tape this at One Buccaneer Place. We just got out of open locker room.
God.
We just heard from Jameis Winston and Todd Monken. And if the players aren't going to go through the motions on Sunday,
we're going to do it on this podcast.
We're
going to
do it.
Then.
We are doing it this week. It is
damn
a
right.
tough week. The week before Christmas. We're still hungover from Monday night. I watched the game on Tuesday, guys.
I wish we were hungover. It would have been much better with some beers watching that game,
well,
especially
we
the ending.
Could have snuck down to the suite. But
yeah.
Anyway, I rewatched the game on Monday, Tuesday morning, and I just I'm with Trevor on this. I think this may have been Jameis. This game reminded me
talk
of Jameis' first
do
game
it.
In college. As a Seminole, where he was
Pittsburgh
like 26
Panther.
Of 28, something like that.
92% of his passes.
I mean, because there were at least 3 drops in that game,
mm-hmm.
2 spikes.
Right.
So that's 3 incompletions because there were only 8 total in the game. So
yeah,
if you
he would have been around 85%, 88, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was as good as we've seen. And we asked him about that. In fact, you asked him about that, Scott, and what did Jameis have to say in the press conference today about being in tune and kind of on fire in that game?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either because we're just going through the motions.
Yeah.
Do you remember, Trevor?
What are we talking about now?
He's not even paying attention.
He's not even paying attention to what we're talking about. Hey,
we're
mailing this
one
listening
in.
To this edition
oh
of the Pewter Nation
goodness.
Podcast. We'll be back on Sunday. Actually, I don't know when we're going to be back. Maybe Monday after Christmas?
Yeah, let's do it on Christmas.
Let's
do a Christmas podcast, yeah.
Trevor, are you going up for the game?
I am.
All right, wait. I remember what Jameis said. Well, we just went out there and we wanted to compete and play hard.
Wait, could you guys really not remember what Jameis said?
I don't recall.
He said.
I even asked the question. I don't remember.
Basically, Jameis was saying, they wanted to show, it was Monday night, Yeah. He was going against Devontae Freeman, a teammate. It was Monday night. He wanted to show the nation that this team is still a really good football
That's
team.
That's right. I remember now.
And unfortunately, you know, 21 points, you can still argue, did they show the nation this is a pretty good football team?
Well, it probably should have been at least
28.
Yeah, something.
Peyton Barber doesn't
fumble. But that's been the story this whole year. That's actually been the story for Dirk Cutter's years here.
Judge, though, right? And because I talked about this a little bit in the cover three, you can – this Tampa Bay tenure for Dirk Cutter is very weird. The other two, a little bit more consistent. Cutter, if you haven't read the cover three yet, David Harrison, he's a guy who works on the –
I read it on Tuesday.
Podcast. Okay.
Yeah, you didn't.
It wasn't there.
It wasn't even there.
So – I don't know. Were you reading a different cover three?
I just
three?
Was thinking it was supposed to be on
He was okay. probably reading a different cover three. Yeah.
Anyways, so Cutter's two previous tenures before the Buccaneers, the Jaguars when he was the offensive coordinator, and then the Falcons when he was the offensive coordinator, both times he had really good success in that first year that he was the offensive coordinator. So it's almost like, hey, a shock to the system. These are all new things. There's no tape on what we're doing.
It's like, hoo-hoo, yay!
Like, it's all the new is always better kind of a thing. And then after that, there's normally a regression, and then he just, like, can't, what I say in the article is, capture lightning in a bottle a second time. And so that's been his history the whole time. But the Tampa Bay years are, it's so weird because this would have been the damning year for him. But there are so many different factors that go into it.
It's
still
a damning year. It's damning because last year, the narrative, or I should say this past offseason, it was get some weapons for Winston. He only has, gosh, the guy's got Cam Brate and he's got Mike Evans. Okay, so they got him more weapons. The offensive line, in theory, was
Freddie Martino, but go ahead.
Yeah, true. Was better with J.R. Sweezy in the lineup and Ali Marpet and Donovan Smith getting better. And DeMar Dotson had a really good year this year, but they've actually regressed in terms of points scored, and that's the stat that matters. Even Todd Monken was saying that today in the press conference. I paid attention for that. But the thing is and you can sit there and say, well, Jameis Winston's shoulder kind of contributed to that. But when, and you mentioned this in the cover three, when he was out of the lineup, it was actually Ryan Fitzpatrick that came in and played pretty damn well, put up a lot of points against the Arizona Cardinals, for example, and played well enough to win against the Miami Dolphins.
But Jameis is doing better than, say, what the other quarterbacks were under Cutter. So, I don't know.
But here's the thing.
You can make the numbers say whatever you want, but this Tampa Bay tenure, it's almost like you can't even judge it the same, and you have to look at his history.
This tells me that Dirk Cutter comes in with a good scheme. The man knows offense. We all know that.
Right.
Okay?
And he can't adjust.
He doesn't adjust.
Right.
He doesn't catch up to what he does. And
that's
and he
not
continues
a coach
to do the same
you want.
Thing.
That's
you,
not a
you
coach
did
you
did read the cover three. That was in there. Good job, Mark.
No, I just thought of that on my own.
Yeah.
I don't read the cover three.
The thing
he
that,
doesn't read the fifth down. I don't read the cover three.
From,
I do, too.
To go from the 20 or from 22 points scored last year when it was just the Mike Evans and Cam Brate show and with no running game, and not that it's better this year. It probably isn't. But to have all these weapons and to have a great performance like Jameis had there, and he played very well against the Buffalo Bills too. Jameis has had some bright spots this season.
Right.
I think the Giants game was a pretty good game. And you're scoring 2 points less per game. And that was indicative of Monday night. They scored 21 points, and they lost.
Seven in the first half. Again, 115 points scored all season long in the first half.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
It's continual slow starts just doom this football team.
Right, and I do agree with what Mark said there. It's like Cutter, you know, he's in this position because even people around the league, we've talked to coaches throughout the year who have said, you know, Cutter's a good play caller. Like, they respect him as a play caller, and I think that there's a lot of truth to that. But then the adjustment part of it, you just don't get. And earlier this week, he literally said the quote. He was like, when they were talking about different kinds of weapons and is there ever too much, you know, too many weapons that you have to go over, he said, yeah, I've had that conversation with Jameis. I was like, hey, wasn't it just easier when we could throw it up to Mike? Yeah, it was. Mm. So, like, why did you go away from that?
Trevor, at the same time, though, you're never going to hear somebody say, well, yeah, Dirk Cutter really is a crappy play caller. You're never going to hear an opposing coach say that.
I know,
there's a lot of fluff to those conference calls.
He also has had two different top 10 offenses, you know.
Yeah.
And these are the first two. The first year he was in Jacksonville and the first year when he was in Atlanta. Those are two top 10 offenses.
And he had one here in his first year here.
Yep.
The Bucs had, what, the fifth-ranked offense.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's – it's there. I don't think these coaches are necessarily like totally lying about it, whether they'd hire him or not.
The interesting thing, now, and part of this is just the whole Doug Martin thing. I think Doug's just been off the rails. I mean, he's got 4 out of 5 years now, less than 500 yards rushing.
This running back group needs a complete cleansing.
It does.
Like, completely.
I totally agree. I would keep Peyton Barber for competition in camp, right?
That's it.
I agree. But the damning thing is when you look at 2015, and I had this league source of mine tell me, it wasn't a Buck source, it was a league source, sit there and say, when you look at Dirk as the play caller and not the head coach, even though Lovie Smith was the defensive coordinator in 2015 and focused on the defense, head coaches will dictate to their offensive coordinator, right, we want to run the ball here. You know, we need to take a shot here.
We saw
here.
Greg Schiano do that with Mike Sullivan in some of those clips on the sideline. Take a shot here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think when you look at Dirk, and this is kind of indicative of a lot of offensive coordinators that like to work with quarterbacks, they're so pass heavy. And I think we've talked about this a little bit earlier in the season, and it's just rung true. The abandonment of the running game, mm-hmm. it's just so quick. And we've seen Jameis at his best when he has the play action ability to do that. When you're going five wide, guess what? There's no play action. You're tipping off the defense as to what's coming. It's going to be a pass play. And I think that under Lovie, and the reason why the Bucs had a top 10 running game and the number 5 offense was, yes, Dirk was calling the plays, was focused on that rather than game management, and maybe that's where he shined. But he also had the direction from Lovie Smith, run the ball. Right. We need to run the ball here, run the ball. There was more of a commitment to that because when left to his own devices as a head coach,
yeah, but that year,
Dirk has opted to pass
year,
the ball.
There wasn't much of a running game. Yeah.
No, there was.
No.
Doug Martin was the second leading rusher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Charles Sims, Pro Bowler. The duo of those two was the top tandem in the NFL.
That's right. It
total
was.
Yards from scrimmage.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so what changed? Dirk became head coach.
Well, and you know, I noticed something again watching the TV broadcast. When the Buccaneers only had 10 men on the field when Atlanta scored, I think it was maybe their final touchdown. I can't remember.
No, it was in the first half.
Okay. Yeah. They had 10. Again, you see Dirk walking down the sideline trying to call timeout. We joke around about Greg Schiano being a total maniac.
Yeah.
Greg Schiano would have ran out.
He would have
tackled
the sideline judge. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There was no way that play would have got off if Greg Schiano was
I don't know.
Dirk is just too passive
in
that
he
situation.
Is. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, I wasn't using the binoculars in that play, and I saw Swaggy Baker run off the field, mm-hmm. or jog, whatever it was, run off the field.
Full sprint.
Okay. And Jay Hayes was like waving him out and doing like, what are you doing, you know, and just reading him a riot act. And you saw Dirk run down there, and he is trying to call timeout, but then he just kind of like throws his hands up. And it's like, it's so passive. It's just annoying.
The Monday he said it wouldn't have mattered if we'd had 11 on the field on that play. I was like, that's just, don't
that's
say that.
Out.
Don't
that's a cop-out.
That.
That's a cop-out.
Don't ever say that. Even if you believe that, don't ever say that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just admitting, oh, well, we wouldn't have stopped him anyway.
Or maybe he's looking at Swaggy Baker and saying that he wouldn't have made a difference, which is damning unto itself.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. There was something else in that game that disturbed me a little bit. My son actually brought it up.
The Peyton Barber
fumble.
Watching
it yesterday. That was bad.
The missed field goal.
Dirk Cutter telling John Gruden in the pre-production meetings that, you know, I don't really like playing spoiler, you know, for playoff teams. I don't really like to go into it trying to hurt other teams' playoff chances.
Is that what happened?
My
is that what he said?
My son was like, are
what?
You kidding me? Why would he say that?
Right.
Oh, that's all you have to – that's all
he
you've got left
that?
At. Yes. Yes.
Oh,
I'm paraphrasing.
My
I can't remember the exact quote that John or Sean McDonald, whichever one brought it up, said
– that's
you know,
sad.
Dirk, you know, said, yeah, he's not really fond of you know,
there's a pretty decent chance
like,
that the
what?
New Orleans Saints or the Carolina Panthers could be the Super Bowl representative from the NFC.
You
pretty,
don't want that
pretty
under
good
your
chance.
Belt?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Hey, here's a news flash, Dirk. You're 0-for against teams with winning records this year. You're 0-for-9.
Oh my
this
gosh.
Year.
You ask a Buccaneer fan if they want
against
to put
teams
a dagger
with winning records
in the Atlanta Falcons or Saints or Carolina's playoff chances.
They're division rivals, for God's
yes,
sake.
Yes, you hate these guys. You should dislike these guys. Respect them, but there should be no love between you in any of this situation. Now, I know that Dirk was a former Atlanta person, but hey, Dirk, you were fired. That would be even more motivation to want to kick their asses.
Yeah,
you know
I agree.
I mean? But that was something that just kind of bothered me a little bit, too.
It should.
Yeah.
Wow.
But anyway, trying to go back and think about any other things that stuck out for me. John was very neutral. McDonough set him up a few times about the Buccaneers' disappointing season, and John just took the high road on that, as we would expect. I mean, the guy's not really going to, you know, take any shots at Dirk.
That's his team, though. Then. John's a Buccaneer.
Yeah, he is a Buccaneer. You know? He was a Buccaneer. It was pretty neat seeing him inducted into the Ring of Honor. I'm just telling you guys. Cool. You know, people say, oh, you know, I had somebody say the other day, I don't want a coach that's been out of football for 10 years. Worked out pretty good for Dick Vermeil after 16 years.
But I mean, I don't think John's been out of football, though.
He hasn't been on the sideline coaching an NFL team in 9 or 10 years.
Right.
But the man has been a lot more involved in football than Joe Gibbs was when he came back, or Dick Vermeil. And so, you know, I went back and looked at Dick Vermeil after he won with the Rams. I forgot he went with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And had them like 13-3 in a regular season at one point. I think they got bounced in the first round of the playoffs.
That's the story of the Chiefs right there in a nutshell.
That's true.
So early exits.
Stram was matriculating.
I lived
down
in
the
Kansas
sideline.
City, man. Oh, gosh. We've seen some early exits there.
And some fast starts from this team. This year was another example. Undefeated 6-0 at one point.
Beat the Patriots week one. Smacked them around.
So, anyway, but I mean, again, that doesn't mean that John is, you know, that doesn't say he's going to be a good coach or a bad coach if he were to come back. But I don't think you can disqualify him as a coach because he hasn't coached. Again, it's not like the guy was, you know, racing Formula One cars in Italy the last 10 years. Right. I mean, the guy's been, you know, he's been around football a lot.
And not just that, too. He's still very dialed in. I mean, his brother is the head coach of the Washington Redskins. He spends the summer going around to NFL teams and training camp. Mm-hmm. He's been through, obviously, one Buccaneer place on August 2nd, watched a practice here.
He obviously does all the draft stuff.
Probably
knows more about how to do the draft now than he ever did.
Yeah.
You know?
I talked to a player off the record yesterday in open locker room about
your son?
John.
Was it at the dinner table?
Are you setting it up? No, it wasn't. It wasn't my son.
Just
Alan
sauerkraut
Cross.
On college.
Although
greens.
I did get on
he
Alan
had a nice
Cross.
Catch. In the
I
game.
Also, but then also got onto him for that drop.
That's true.
And the late hit out of bounds, which they ended up not calling. They threw the flag, but then they took it back. He goes, they should have called it on me.
Yeah.
But he did say on the drop, he says, man, he says, I was exhausted because, you know, we were down.
Because he was
me
playing
and
a
Anthony.
Lot.
And he says, he says, I mean, it happens. He says, I should have caught it. Yeah. He says, but I mean, I was just beat at that point. Yeah. And then right after that, they had to punt. He had to
How about Anthony Altlayer, too, with a nice catch? You know, you throw the ball, throw it to him, he's going to get first downs. He's 2 for 2. 2 catches, 2 first downs.
He's the
Work
Luke's,
him in the offense.
He's the French Luke Stalker. He's going to get 2 catches a year for the next 7 years.
That very well could be.
He better get stronger on the blocking sleds if he wants to stick around as long as Luke
I
did.
Think he's going to get a touchdown in one of these two games here. I think they're going to go goal line, and I think he's going to get a touchdown play.
Let's talk about these next two games here. Again, we joked around about going through the motions, but and Jameis was asked about this too, and he said, you know, this is an opportunity to play. But let me go back to what I was going to say, the off-the-record thing with somebody that wasn't my son, and about John Gruden. And he really echoed what you said, Scott, in your fab a couple weeks ago when you talked to some of the players about when John addressed the team. And because, again, this player was, again, in second or third grade when the Buccaneers Super Bowl, he only knew John Gruden from Monday Night Football and from ESPN. He didn't.
The quarterback's camp.
Yeah, he doesn't really know a whole lot about John, the football coach. And he says, man, he says, that guy gets you fired up. I mean, just listening to him talk, you know, you want to go out there and run through a brick wall. And that's true. I mean, we watched him, all three of us watched him out.
It certainly fires me up.
God. Would somebody get Uncle Stan out of here?
Come back to this. Buccaneers.
You want John McKay to come back, Uncle Stan.
Well, that would be physically impossible, I would
Nothing's
think, right?
Nothing's impossible. Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah. I don't think that's happening.
All right.
Sorry, Uncle Stan.
So anyway, so I mean, these guys, you know, but this player.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Did you just catch that?
I like to slip these in that people don't get
just
for a few
catch
minutes.
That?
Toss it to Ricky Bell. Anyways. Toss left, Jerry Eckwood. Third down throw to Jimmy Giles. Anyway. What's that smell in here? All right. That's completely inappropriate,
Coach. It's you, Coach.
God, get off of that. All right, looking ahead to these next few games, or next two games, because I don't think the Bucs are going to be in the playoffs, so there's only two left. You know, we joked about us going through the motions. How does this team not just go through the motions? I mean, if this team was at full health,
they are. Listen, they are.
If for some reason they're going to get off to a fast start, if they get off to, you know, a quick pick and a touchdown off of that, if this team gets an early lead, they stay interested. They stay focused on all of that. If the Panthers do to them what they did here, which is get up early,
right.
You know, then it's going to be over. it's just, it's Christmas Eve. Their mind, I don't think, is going to be in this.
See, I think it's might a be the opposite.
No, nah, see, I don't. I think they have a better shot of playing well against
the Saints at home. Yeah,
last game at home, they play better at home. They want to go out with a.
I don't know if I think so. I kind of think it might be the opposite. I might, because we've heard a couple of the players here over the last couple of weeks. It's like, hey, you guys aren't having a good season. What do you have to play for? And then it was like, hey, you're not going to make the playoffs. You're mathematically eliminated. What's there to play for?
Well,
and
it's not to spoil your opponent's chances.
Apparently not. Right. That message has not been delivered.
A couple of the players have talked. You know, James has said this. Quan has said this. They're just like, hey, and Justin Evans too. They're just like, hey, I mean, like, we're just trying to have fun. Like, this is football. Like, this is fun to us. And I get that, like, them losing, them not making the playoffs isn't going to be. But I'm sorry, but
winning is fun.
Right. But yeah. Part of me thinks...
That's really the winning attitude you have.
But part of me thinks Christmas Eve, a lot of people love Christmas. Like, it just... I could just see the people on this team being like, hey, guys, like, this is Christmas and we're in the NFL and we're playing. And I can see a lot of the young guys on this team.
I can see James saying that, yeah.
I can see a lot of the young guys on this team who now are going to get shots with a lot of these injuries truly giving it their all. So, like, I don't know if they're going to go through the motions. I don't think they're going
to
win.
The last couple Christmas Eve games have not been good. The Bucs lost to the Saints with everything on the line last year, with a playoff berth on the line.
That's way different. This team chokes.
And then in 2000...
Welcome to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And then in 2011...
This is the Cleveland Browns of the NFC.
Shots fired.
This is the most losing team in NFL history.
That's true.
This is
true.
How it goes.
Can't argue that.
When games are on the line, this team loses. I'm saying because there's nothing on the line, I could see this team having fun and actually
being
relaxed.
This guy in his parallel universes, he watches too much TV.
Yeah. I think Pat Murray wishes he was in the parallel universe on Monday night.
We totally jinxed him. He will never come eat a Ford's Burger again because of that.
Or do a podcast.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah,
Pat.
We're out of luck. Yeah. And Pat, you know.
Keith Tandy won't either.
True.
Came back and they just benched him.
Yeah.
Man, boy, we are the Madden curse of podcast, apparently.
Yeah, we're 0-2.
Well, I mean, that goes all the way back to our draft watch parties when...
Hold on. Yeah. Buccaneer fans are saying, get Dirk Cutter on the podcast next week!
Well, talk about some of the players who have been at our draft watch parties over the years, Scott.
Josh Freeman,
mm-hmm.
Mark Dominic.
He was literally there when they drafted Mark Lennon.
Was not at the draft.
Wow, that's party. Awkward.
Yeah. We had Ahmad Black at one of these events one time.
Okay,
that was his last season with the team.
Yeah,
we've ended some careers. Wow. We did not. We never had Carl Nix or Lawrence Tynes on any of them. That's okay.
So if there's a player on the Buccaneers that you, Pewter Nation, want to see off this roster, you drop us a little line and let us know. Hashtag Pewter Nation. And just throw the name out there.
Because we will be doing another Ford's event at their new West Chase location the first of the year. We'll also be doing a bowling event coming up early part of the year. So those are two opportunities to get rid of a couple players.
Now, the bowling events are good. We've had some safe players there. Adam Humphries.
Yeah, that's true. Right? Cambray came out. Yeah.
DeMar Dotson.
Dwight Smith.
Although DeMar's on IR. Alan Cross got cut.
Yeah.
Then re-signed.
Yeah, that's not good. You're right. Yeah, they might not. We're only going to be able to get practice squad guys from now on.
Yeah, we'll never have Jameis Winston on this podcast.
Probably not.
Just out of that.
Jason Light did promise to come on at one point this year, and we haven't had him on yet. I'm pretty sure we're not going to get him on.
Well, we're not going to get him on now. He's listening to this going, there's no way I'll come on this podcast.
No.
Not happening.
All right. So we were looking at the Saints game. I mean, Panthers game, Christmas Eve. According to you, it's the opposite. It's going to be a win.
No. I could just see them not completely laying down, and if they will, then
okay. I'm going to be. Let's not
42-0 at halftime.
Let's not forget this team is really, really banged up. Right?
Correct.
They lost a lot of talent on Monday night.
Correct. I'm just saying I don't see them like giving up.
The MO for this team this season is giving up 30 on the road, which I think they're going to, and not scoring more than 20 points, which I think that's a given.
Wait a second. They only gave up 26 to the Packers with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
No, that was with Brett Hundley.
Oh, yeah. Well, he threw for 384 yards.
I think it was 84.
Oh, it was only 84. Yeah. Never mind. Okay. Yeah, you're right. They're going to lose.
Yeah. So just follow the MO, and they're going to give up 30 somehow. And you know what? It might not even be all of the defense. There might be a blocked kick.
Not a block.
Scoop
punt
and score.
It can't be three block.
It might be. There
year.
Might be a pick six. There might be a fumble. Scoop and score. You know, who knows?
Well, to Trevor's to defend, not defend Trevor, but to agree with him a little bit. I don't know. I think as long as you have Jameis Winston on this football team, the offense is not going to give up. They're going to go out there. And that doesn't mean they're going to win or perform well.
Right.
But, you know, Jameis is going on 8 straight losses as starting quarterback.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's
he could
that's
finish rough. Out 10 straight losses as a starting quarterback if they lose these next 2 games.
Yikes.
And that's something that I know that he knows and doesn't want to happen. All right,
did
now,
this have to happen, though? Like, because
we all blame Hurricane Irma.
Winston, let's face it, like, Winston was living in a fairy tale before this, like, before he got into his groove in his NFL career. Like, what he did in high school, what he did in college, like, that's a fairy tale. So, like, nobody has the career that he had, especially coming out of nowhere as, what was he? He was a redshirt freshman or a redshirt.
So you're saying,
freshman,
like,
right?
The football gods have already blessed him with karma early in his career.
No,
and now it's
I'm not saying karma, but I'm just saying, like, and again, not 10 straight losses, maybe, but like this had to happen at some point. Jameis had to get smacked in the face with, look, man, we know that you want to win. You have a passion to win, and that is great, but that does not mean that it's going to happen all the time.
Same thing happened to Tom Brady. Did it?
No. No, okay. I'm pretty sure it didn't. Because Tom Brady didn't win a
Heisman. Did you
bring
up the greatest quarterback of all time as an argument? Come on. That's got to be like an unspoken rule. You can't use Tom Brady as an example for anything ever.
You know what, though?
Jameis is chasing Tom Brady.
You can use a division rival, though, in Cam Newton, a guy who won a national championship.
Was the MVP.
Right.
And then
took the Panthers to the Super Bowl.
And then also
lost.
Won a division at 7-8-1 a couple years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, missed the playoffs last year completely, and now they're on the verge of winning the NFC South.
Cam has been smacked in the face.
Right.
With you're not always going to be a winner.
And he wrecked a car.
And he stole a laptop.
Broke his back.
And he stole a laptop.
Yeah. Think about how many games Florida would have won if only they would have kept him at
that school. Gator Great, Cam. I looked up this recruiting class.
Or if he would have gone to Kansas State.
Cam Newton and John Brantley were in the same class. They were like the number 1 and 2 rated quarterbacks in the class, and Florida got both of them. How the hell did that happen? And then John Brantley ended up sucking. Cam Newton stole a laptop. We hire a shark humper a couple of years later, and the rest is history.
The good news is you guys were able to bounce back from the John Brantley thing with a Jeff Driskel and then a Trayon Harris.
No, Jeff Driskel is a hell of a quarterback at Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, he did.
We did go to the Sugar Bowl. Got our asses whooped, but we did make it to the Sugar Bowl.
No, that's true.
All right. I'm just letting you know right now, Kansas State's bowl game, the Cactus Bowl, is against UCLA, and I do have a standing
Rosen's
bet.
Rosen's not playing, right?
What's that?
Rosen's not playing, right?
Yeah, he's playing.
Is he?
Yeah.
Jalen Rose?
No. Josh Rosen.
Kissed by a rose?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. No, Caleb Beninock, the former UCLA right tackle, now the current starting right tackle for the Buccaneers. Caleb and I have a little wager on the game.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So
you're going to have to wear UCLA gear?
I might be dressed as a Bruin, but he might be dressed as a Wildcat.
Now, let me ask you, do you just keep an outfit for these players? Because I remember a couple years ago, Gerald McCoy had to wear the purple.
Yeah.
Is it the same shirt and hat that you're going to give?
No, I gave Gerald a purple hat. No, of course not.
Oh, okay.
No, but I gave him a hat, a K-State hat, and he literally had to undo all of the snaps. His head is so big. You know, and put it on, and then we took a selfie for Instagram's sake and Twitter. And then Mike Evans last year with Texas A&M. I do have like a rather roomy Kansas State like
onesie?
Pullover parka. No, it's not a onesie.
Oh.
No, it's cold weather gear, you know.
He wears onesies.
100%.
I do not.
100%.
Sure do.
I don't.
Actually,
you can ask my wife. She would know.
No.
And so he wore that and a hat last year. So I do have some garb. I don't know if I've got anything big enough for Caleb Beninock, but I'll have him hold a pennant or something, maybe.
Pennant.
Yeah. Or maybe I'll have him do like the Wildcat symbol, you know, give a shout out
just
to Kansas
State.
Hat,
the hat will be good enough.
In the hat.
And make him sing the fight song. Do y'all have a fight song?
Yeah, we have a fight song.
What is it?
Wabash Cannonball.
Wabash Cannonball?
Hell yeah.
What does that got to do with Kansas?
That's our song.
I know, but where is the Wabash Cannonball? Isn't it like in the Kentucky Hills or something? Isn't it
an actual
place?
It's a train.
Oh.
The Wabash Cannonball is a train.
I thought maybe it would be like the Gunsmoke theme because that's the only thing I know from Kansas.
No.
Or the Wizard of Oz.
Right. I would have gone with something Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Theme.
Yeah. Make him sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
The Wizard? I'll have to see the Wizard?
That would be good too.
Oh,
we'll have to see Bill Snyder.
We're
wonderful cadre of old.
Yes.
By the way,
one of these days we're gonna play the most epic freestyle for you. It's Plant City style freestyle.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That Mark Cook did.
Not true.
Yeah,
that's not true. All right. So now, Scott,
you have that audio. Right?
Oh there, yeah.
Right? Okay.
No, he doesn't. Oh, I deleted it.
There'll be like a best of.
No.
Or actually, like the unreleased tapes version, yeah. Right? The right. Basement demos, absolutely. Things like that. Yeah.
All right, now Scott, if you're so confident in Kansas,
well, I've already
State,
put money on my Wildcats.
Have you
I'm
put money
you.
On it?
I have.
But I want to put money on UCLA. Where do I go?
Mybookie.ag, Mark. That's the place to go, and they can double your initial deposit if you mention the code word pewter, as in pewterreport.com, as in Pewter Nation podcast. Mybookie.ag. They've got the fastest payouts in the industry. And it's really easy. They've got an app. You can do it from your phone. You can do it from your desktop, your tablet. Really easy website to navigate. They have everything there. You can bet the money line. You can bet the over-under. You can bet the point spread.
Can you bet that Bill Snyder just collapses at halftime?
No, you can't bet that.
Okay, I didn't know if that was a prop bet. No. Go ahead.
Bill Snyder is a Jedi, and therefore he won't collapse.
You talk about Weekend at Bernie's, but go ahead.
He may turn into an apparition. And the Snyder Windbreaker and the Cortez Nikes might stay there, and Bill might just float away.
Where is the Cactus Bowl?
It's in Arizona.
Oh, okay, so it's not going to be that cold.
It's actually.
I always like to see the old guy.
Yeah, it's actually
get dumped with Gatorade.
It's
in 20
it's the
degree
site
weather.
Of. Well, he's not going to do that anymore. Last year they had a Gatorade
confetti?
Bucket full of confetti that they threw on the old
Smart.
Man. Yeah, he's 78 years old. You know. But listen, go to mybookie.ag. Lots of action right now. College bowl games. We're going to have the NFL games for this week. Playoff games are coming. NBA is in full effect. NHL. So there's a lot of ways that you can gamble and win money. I did not have a very good weekend, but I'm bouncing back because I've laid down $80 on college bowl games, and it's about to get real. It's about to get on. And I'm going to make up some Christmas shopping money from mybookie.ag.
This guy's got 19 kids, and $80 covers his Christmas money. Go ahead. Keep going.
I got four, and $80,
$80, apple, and
$80 will go a long way in the Reynolds household right now
yeah.
with all the holiday shopping we've done. So ring in the new year, mybookie.ag. It's not just during football season. You can do it year-round. They got baseball coming up in the spring. Who cares, especially in Tampa? But mybookie.ag, mention the code word pewter, and they'll double your initial deposit.
All right, very good. All right, anything else going on?
Nope.
No, we got a new fab coming out on Friday, Scott?
Yes, a brand new fab.
See, listen, guys, you would expect him to take the week off.
Personally, hell
no. I would. It's Christmas. No one really cares. But he's going to have a brand new fab with outstanding information. I'll tell you what, for late in the year, you think you would be mailing them in? You've had your best ones, I think, the last two out of the last 4 weeks to 3 weeks.
Thank you very much, kind sir.
Some of the best of the year.
That's Mark just angling for that holiday bonus.
Yeah, I don't do anything for that. But all right, Trevor, you got anything coming up? What do you want people to read? Your Tuesday column, the cover three, is out today on Thursday.
Correct.
He had an excuse this week.
Hey, Trevor,
there was a Monday night game.
we
were all zombies on Tuesday,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And then the NFL Network didn't even put up the game until
Wednesday
last night?
Afternoon.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, make sure to check out the cover three. We got a brand
Very
new
good
fifth
stuff.
Down. And riveting information with Ryan Griffin in the fifth down.
Ryan Griffin.
By Ford's
there
Garage.
You go.
Check that out. We'll have full game coverage this weekend. Just because it's Christmas Eve doesn't mean we won't be doing our job. We will be doing our job.
Also
thank you, Lord, for not flexing this game before or 8 o'clock.
Yes. Check out the roundtable this week. We did another roundtable.
Yeah.
And what type of gift would you ask Santa for the Buccaneers?
Mm-hmm.
I said new head coach.
We don't want to tell
coaching
them.
Coaching
staff. Make them read it.
I didn't say who it was.
Oh.
You know?
Huh, I wonder if his name rhymes with...
It's Bill Snyder.
Ron Fooden. I wonder.
Possibly.
Anyway, so Ron...
Fooden's what you came
that's
up
a
with?
Good club name. I'm
Ron
start
Fooden.
Using Ron Fooden.
Yeah.
Or when I check into a hotel, you know, with a mistress, I'm going to be like,
sure.
I'm Ron Fooden. So, can we see your idea, Mr. Fooden? And I'm going to be like, no.
Mark having a mistress.
I guess if
oh,
never mind, I was going to make an inappropriate joke, but I won't do that.
Wow.
Anyway, all right. So anyway, check out Trevor Mount Treverest. That's also his Tinder and Grindr profile. You know, it's no fun to make fun of the guy who edits this because he can take out all the funny stuff.
It's
we make fun of him, but
it
anyway,
true.
We'll be back with another edition of Pewter Nation.
You
We will be back on Tuesday, hopefully Tuesday, with another Pewter Nation podcast. Thanks for listening, everybody. We are out.